Well, here we are up on the 9th of June, 2016, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. This is your internet pastor, PJ. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for tuning in. My gosh, what's happening to our country? What's happening to us? We are now pulling guns on each other in our cars. Now, and this the road rage insanity that I'm seeing taking place is not happening amongst, well, I know that it's happening amongst minority people in the inner cities. I know, because everybody's hyper. No jobs, everybody's trying. Man, wait a minute. I had to take Bro Man this morning, and what I did is I put him in the hospital. I said, Bro Man, you need to go to the hospital, really get some personal care if I'm going to hold on to the dog. So I do have a heart. But anyhow, just looking at the news, you know, just checking it out. Only to find out that people are pulling guns on each other, running people off the road. Motorcycle gangs are being run off the road. People are cursing at each other, having arguments with each other. And it is getting bad. And it is a sheer sign of the lack of anything that has to do with the moral fiber in our society. It you know, I've watched it fading away, and I'm not going to get on the old bandwagon and say, oh, these people are doomed for hell and all that kind of crazy talk. Without an idea of God, or what is righteous, what is correct, what is right, what should be done, people are usually left at their own demise. If you raise, let me put it this way, if you raise a human being and they don't have a place in their heart or in their mind for right and wrong, good and bad, evil and decency, then obviously these people have rejected the social contract that we have set up for decency, especially on our highways. And I'm not going to try to give an explanation to it. The only thing that I can say is we've forgotten God. And once you forget God, and I know this sounds like a bad argument, especially from an intelligent mind, you know, these educated minds that is very aware of what's going on in our particular society. So I'm not going to try to argue that. Educated minds know better, and educated minds know what they're confronted with. Deadmau5, random album title. That's what you're listening to in the background. A little bit of music. Here's one call from an album called Heal and Mend. It's called Vibration. Just playing some music in the background as I talk to you. While I'm on vacation here, the summer of, which isn't quite here, having these June low clouds in the morning, burns off around 2 or 3 o'clock and stays warm up until around 6:30, and then it gets cool again. Those kind of days in Southern California. But when you really look at what we're confronted with today in our society, with individuals, I mean, man, one guy pulled a gun on somebody and pointed it at him. Has a Smith & Wesson just like I have. People are riding around with guns on their persons in their cars now. And I'm telling you, if anything breaks out, terrible. Police, fire department, whatever, the military, nobody will be able to stop the mayhem. I was also, when I was taken to Bro Man, to another incorporated city within Los Angeles, I was noticing the people driving on the street. and I drive a little black Mini Cooper. I find these cars rushing up on me, and I see how they come up on me. You know, it seems like nobody wants to get behind a small car. I guess they think that I'm retarded or something. I'm driving the speed limit. Nobody drives the speed limit in Los Angeles anymore. It's a rush. The city has to get their hands on this thing right. Because everything seems to be turned up. Until what I was helping a young man, trying to get this young man to see that he has to stop hanging around the wrong kind of individuals if he ever expects his life to get better. When I went to this vet place this morning to drop Roman off early, they had a lot of employees working there, and I noticed that these people were, because I was referred to them by the city agency. So it's a clinic where they hire people and give them an opportunity to make money and good. And I kind of like the clinic. And it was in a part of town that's a little run down economically. And a little bit further east of where I live here in Los Angeles, went in there. Guys got tattoos all over them. I can tell that they were ex-gang, whatever. But they're working in this place and working with the dogs. And very much so. And I pay a little discount price to get the dog fixed because my money's really ruinous this summer, you know. But I noticed that they were working, and I'm having difficulty trying to get this one person of all the guys that I've worked with over the years. I'm having a heck of a time getting this person to understand that he has to get up and go to work every day, that he has to move, that he has to compete, that he has to get out there and barter for the position, you know. My boy Mario is on his way back to America. I got job people calling him here. Okay. Trying to set up interviews and things like that. He's not even in the country yet. And if he is, he's on his way here. But he has a motivational output to do something. He knows that he just can't come here and sit down. Goodness sake, no. But the rage when you can't find a job, the rage when you don't have the money to eat. You know, somebody was telling me, they said, John, you make money, you work, you've been doing it your whole life. There's a lot of people here that doesn't see where the next meal is coming from. And I got to tell you, I'm not trying to relate to that. I'm not trying to relate to when I would possibly get my next meal. I got a meal in the kitchen, okay? In the refrigerator, waiting to be heated up, to be eaten. So I'm not waiting on that, at least not right now. And also, let me say this. I also pass so many people on the street. So many people on the street, living on the streets. I'm transitioning on my freeway, right? Making a freeway transition to one freeway to the next. Only to find more people sleeping in little shanties. You know where the freeway transition rails are. More and more people every day I see under there. The city has to know it. The authorities have to know it. They aren't doing anything. Things are getting rough. People that had homes, that had families. One young man told me, he said he lived in a good city back east. He and his family were doing good until his parents got on drugs. Both of his parents got on rock cocaine real bad. They were seeking the first high. Seeking that. Lost everything. Everything. I told the young man, I can't relate. When I see things falling down, I got to get up and start picking things up. I got to put on a uniform. I've got to get a job. I've got to start making, I don't care if it's minimum wage. Man, I remember when I worked for the city of LA and they moved my minimum pay up to $12 an hour. I thought that I was riding the crest wave of success, people. $12 an hour is nothing now in this economy. It's all different. It's all different. Hey, let me share with you something. Maybe this will take your mind off of road rage and everything else. I want to read this paper to you. It's by a young lady that took a class with me. And what I asked them to do, I asked them to share with me what was the main objective that they got out of this semester. There are several standout concepts that I can take away from this semester. There is, however, one notion that surpasses them all, and it is the one that Professor Coleman has seemed to be most passionate about. And then she says, holding fast to my thesis is the one thing from this point on I will not forsake. Now, if my thesis is that I'm one that believes in God, believes in a social moral system, then I'm going to hold to that. The student goes on and says that if I don't have thesis, all other matters, significance, diminish. Any quest for ethical, epistemological, and metaphysical insights would be a waste if I do not keep to the findings that I have picked up along the way. I am still young, and there is so much to learn. For that reason, I may participate in the transitional, because if there's a possibility that I'm wrong, I want to correct it. So I will listen. It will never be my desire to be a stubborn person. That being said, I will not be as quick to give in to antithesis as I have been in the past. So this student makes me happy because she has learned the disasters of Hegelian dialectic and when one does not hold to their personal thesis. See, I used to teach this when I was a pastor in the church, and I said, look, they're going to come against Christianity. They're going to have to come against Christianity. And so I told the people in the church, stop telling people they're going to hell. Stop telling people that you don't know where those people are going. You have one obligation, and that one obligation is to love people and to be kind and share what you have. Be utilitarian in this. Seek an Eudaimonia, yes. Aristotle's Eudaimonia. Seek that kind of happiness. Listen to what this student says. When I was younger, I hardly had any opinions and lacked personality. A shy, reserved adolescent who longed to fit in order to be accepted. It's no mystery why I would be quick to go along as a citizen, as Hegel would classify and define it would. Shortly after I started acquiring the awareness of ethical necessity and then took those stances, I abstained from the large amount of behavior such as speech and the events that were common to my high school peers, but where at times I still compromised myself because I desired to be accepted. Let me turn this down. I don't want it. You got to hear that. All right, let me continue to do this. I abstained from large amounts of behavior such as speech and events when they were in high school. Synthesis used to win, and I hated the aftermath. See, when this student was taken in, sabotaged, and blown up, you know, and that happened to me last night. Let me break off because that happened to me last night. I got a call last night around 1 o'clock in the morning, and the person says, I see what you mean, I see what you mean, help me, I need you. No, I'm not leaving the safety and the warmness of my bed to help you. I told you when you came by the Lucy Coleman studio what to do. And I said, now you call me if you have to. I'd love to hear how you're doing. And I got the call at 1 something in the morning. Tomorrow I'm walking the street and I may hit somebody. I just text them back and said, hit them. And it will do you well to find out where you end up. But let me go back to the student's paper. Now that I'm a bit older, desires have shifted and the need for approval has fell down in rank. That's right. This young lady learned that trying to meet the status quo of the people of her peers is nuts. It, of course, is still there somewhere on the list, but not before any of my thesis. So this person says all those other antitheses that's coming against her and challenging her to compromise herself to blend into a world of synthesis she refuses to do. What I know to be true and good, I will not forsake by compromising just to please others. And then she says, I was on the cusp of the decision prior to taking this class, and Professor Coleman emphatically hit it out of the park. Well, thank you. And then she says, taking note of the character from the cave in The Obsolete Man in THX 1138, because they had to read Plato's The Cave and the Twilight Zone series of The Obsolete Man. You can see these things in the movie by George Lucas, THX 1138. She says, I will keep my thesis. Just as the man who ventured out of the cave, I will not be afraid to venture through life as I cling to my thesis, even if I'm the only one who believes it and am faced against a cave full of antithesis. Good for you, girl. Then she says, I will model after the vocal librarian that's in The Obsolete Man that was labeled obsolete rather than being the shy person that kept all opinions in silence and in secret. I, being a Christian, this girl says, know that the odds against me will attempt to take away my quality of life. But no one can take away my thesis. Good for you, girl. Good for you, girl. Then she says, as the Apostle Paul wrote, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this student wrote this in her paper, and I don't preach in the classroom. I do not, people. I don't do that because that's illegal. I can't do that. This is a secular philosophy class, and this student just listening to me, and I've never taken a Bible verse in there unless it was in the book. Look at this. She says, unlike THX 1138, I would use my thesis to not only benefit myself, but strive to be the hero that Hegel describes and attempts to help others. Then the student says, this may sound as if I made this decision because it simply sounds good and impressive. This is not the case. Then she says, the truth and sense of ethics God has illuminated to me are greatly lacking in my country. I think I just said this on this webcast. Then she says, I realize the severity of the state that we are in, and so I see the necessity to participate in discussions, exchanges, and differences. That's good. Differences, that's good. Well, I like that. Oh, I'm sorry. The music just stopped. It'll come back on. Then she says, I was trying to keep up with the music, people. I'm sorry. All right. I see the necessity to participate in discussions, exchange differences, and bond with those I encounter as an attempt to shut down other antitheses. I hold to the scriptural divine command theory. I love this. I didn't know. I don't remember her face. Because, you guys got to know what John Coleman does. John Coleman goes into that college and teach. John Coleman goes in there with his main backup thesis. There is but one God. And all this other foolishness that's flying out there is pure tommy rot. I tell the students, I said, I hold to my faith. I will die holding to it. But I'm not going to preach it and share it like an... Man, let me tell you what happened yesterday. You guys won't believe this. Let me turn this music up as I tell you the story. I was in Costco shopping for some food. Met a man walking around on crutches, pushing his basket. A black man, had to be at least 60 years old. I said, look at you, what did you do to that left leg? He said, I was playing tennis and busted my Achilles tendon. Broken half, he said, I never experienced the pain like I am now. And I said, keep walking on, it's gonna take time, I know it hurts. But that's what it's all about, because see, I'm a pastor and I'm telling him the truth. Well, this Nigerian pastor comes up, hello, my brother, I see that you're in pain. I just stepped aside with my basket full of juices. And he said, let me pray for you that your pain will disappear, because I believe that the Lord Jesus is going to take your pain away. I didn't say nothing. And so the other black man was nice. And, you know, he's one of them brothers believing, going to church, a man of God come up. So he bowed his head and the man was praying all loud in the Costco hallway. I'm listening. After he got through with his rhetoric talking about in the name of Jesus, he can throw these crutches away, I deem him healed, and the pain will be gone before he leaves the store and all that stuff. After the Nigerian preacher said, amen, I said, you know what, man, as a logic professor, that is a line of bull crap. That's how come I don't go to church no more. That's what I said to that preacher and that man. I said, that's why I don't go to church anymore, man. I said, and I said to the man that had the busted Achilles tendon, you still hurting? He said, yes. I said, you are going to hurt until that muscle comes back together. And I said, now tell me, you over 60 years old, you going to play tennis? He said, man, I'm through with that. I said, when you get a certain age, brother, you better slow the hell down. Watch every step you make. When you get out of the car, where are you stepping and everything? Because once something breaks when you're older, it takes longer to come back together. But that bootleg preacher, well, this girl got more sense than that preacher. Now let me continue to read. She says, I hold to the scriptural divine command theory, because what that man was given in the Costco was not a scriptural divine command theory. You know that. To the surprise of many others of my views in proper living and in alignment with the traditional values more popular and accustomed to those about 40 years older than I am in concurrence with Rene Descartes in his conclusion that one could not doubt that the human is a thinking being, that a thinking thing exists, and that God exists, and that the world exists. My thesis and my purpose is metaphysically true, the student is writing. And then she says, compromise is not an option. What my immaterial mind knows to be true needs to manifest itself in my material body, demonstrating and speaking what my thesis is. I love this paper. With thesis, she says, my belief in the concepts like teleological and cosmological arguments would cease to matter. I recall the testimony of a young girl who lived in an oppressive demographic region in Africa. She, along with several others in her group, was rescued from this encampment by missionary Christians. These adolescents were brought to America, nourished, tended to, and told the powerful message of the gospel. While this young girl was thankful, her response was one of the sharpest convictions. If what you're saying is true, she said, what took you so long to come? Why didn't someone come to tell me about God sooner? These are questions that I would hate to ever befall my ears. Well, this is true, and I agree with this. But I'm not going up to anybody sharing with them until I see the need to share. Because see, once you Once you go up to people and try to start giving them what you believe they need and what they need to get in contact with, may find yourself in a bad way. So I'll leave that at that. This is why I need thesis, she says. She concludes, my thesis in God is the root and hope and the foundation of my life. Mine too, girl. If what I believe to be true really is true, metaphysically true, then I should be living in a way that realizes the urgency to shut down antithesis and never relent of my thesis. Consider me not to be the same when I first entered the classroom. All right, she got 100 points on this. Has extra credit because she needed some extra credit. I said, you know what? You need to, okay. I said, nobody fails in my class, so let your extra credit be this. And she said, okay. You guys think it was worthy? You think that was worthy? I think it was worthy. Listen up. Here's another. Oh, I love it. Here's another one. Now, let me let the trash truck pass, right? I don't want it. Let me sing a little bit. Oh. I've been thinking about things real deep. I've been thinking about me. I ain't cheap. I've been thinking about you. Buku, 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 buku. You know who I am. Now let me put Jesus in it. I don't see Jesus as a white man. Don't see him as a black man neither. I don't have a visual image in my head of him. But I know his principles reign supreme. To everybody that needs to come close to him, I know that I can put it on him. It's gonna be alright. When I run out of money or run out of gas, when the man comes and turns out the lights, I don't have to fear if I'm walking the streets. Because if I got a decent mind, he's gonna keep it neat. I'm gonna throw away the dope that messes up my mind. I'm gonna sit down and talk with people that's gonna try to keep me in line. I'm gonna do those things that make a man his best. I'm never, 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 never gonna give up and rest. I'm so glad you come to my sight to hear my daily prose. And as far as I'm concerned, you're the one that really knows. Yeah, let's read this. All right. This young man, I remember him because I asked him at the end of the semester, why didn't he ever say anything? He just sat in the back of the room and just shut down completely. How philosophy applies to my life. Well, I'd taken philosophy in the beginning of this year. I was just an ignorant average teen just trying to get my credits. But after stumbling upon a subject in the class, it really changed the way I look at my life. I always wondered, what is my goal? What is the point of me being alive? Then we started talking about Hegel and thesis. Now keep it in mind, I did not even care about a lot of things in the class. I did not even pay attention to most, which is probably why I have a low grade. But when it came to the subject of thesis and the Hegelian dialect, It was everything I was looking for. The Hegelian dialect expresses the process of development of Hegel belief pervades everything. There is only one reality, idea. And the only thing that is real is the rational. The dialectic is the idea of a thought thinking itself out. Now, this is where it completely interests me. I feel that this will benefit me in my life and in my future goals. Thesis is one's goal. If you have a strong thesis, you will not fall to other people's thesis, which to you would be antithesis. The student is right. He's correct. And then he says, throughout my whole life, I have been living by the antithesis of other people's opposing thesis and never my own. I have come to the realization in this philosophy class that I must have my own thesis. Man, that's good. That I must have my own thesis. I love it. And that it must be strong. And then he says, a reason for why I live and now live. Let me read that right. A reason for why I live and how I live. And then the student says, let me get that music back on. Okay. Wait a minute. I don't know why I'm having this problem like this. Oh, well. Maybe the music will come on when it wants to come on. I'm not going to worry about that. Let me read this right here, because I want to, you know, I love it. I have come to the realization in this philosophy one class to have my own thesis. A reason for why I live and how I live. Fall to no one's antithesis and never to transform. By just thinking about what the antithesis, I am already starting to transitionalize. See, he understands that if you're traditional and you listen to someone else's thesis against your thesis of believing in God and who you are, then antithesis is coming on you. And I was teaching the student in the philosophy class, fight antithesis, hold to your own thesis, and you never fall prey to someone else's oblivion. That's the main thing here. I got to see what happened to my music here, because it just stopped, you know, and I don't like it to just stop like that. Because I do want to finish reading this paper, and this is a young man of, I guess it's on. It's just not playing for some reason. There we go. Let me say this. This is just a young man. He is of mixed parental heritage. I think, I won't go into that. Let me continue to read it. He says, by making my own thesis, I could live the way I want to. I have been a victim throughout my whole life, and I think that it's time for me to become a person or even a hero. The victim is a person so inward and personal that they relate scarcely to the larger movements of life and fall victim to everything. I sadly am classifying myself as a victim because I know nothing of my personal liberty and do not have thesis. You see what I teach the college students? I'm not just in that classroom trying to make some money. I'm not just in that classroom trying to make myself better than that. Come on, man. Listen to the way these youngsters write. God bless their sweet little hearts. Listening to the old man when he stand up there and teach them something about life. I look in their little eyes and they don't know nothing. This boy just admitted to me. Man, I love this. Let me read it. While the person is someone who is aware of and active in personal liberty, the person knows what they want and they have thesis. Depending upon how strong the thesis, they may transform or they may not. But the best, hopefully something that I can one day achieve, would be the hero. The hero is a person whose will to personal liberty is consonant with the larger historical movements of time. This boy went right to my notes and writing it in his paper, because that's what I asked him to do, to get some extra points. I said, and he didn't need it. He got a B in the class on his own. He says, for example, Martin Luther King Jr., with his thesis, Equality, he fought against the tides and changed history as we know it. The hero is the exact opposite of the victim, which is me, and I hope with my newfound knowledge, I will change that. Then he says, just like in the movie THX 1138, I have been trapped in my life, and this is a time for me to escape. Hegel calls this the hole. By being in the hole, you are following the thesis of the ruler, which is your parents, our government, our king. You are following someone else's commands and wishes, just like a slave. Now, he didn't say that he doesn't count the counsel from his parents as being anything wrong or anything. He's just saying he wants to be free, and I like that. By going through the dialectic, you argue your thesis to the antithesis, and if you are strong enough, you will not even take it to synthesis. I want to stop and thank somebody right now in my life. Dean, if you're still listening to me, Dean, listen. I'm still the godly man that you knew. I'm still him. And I want to thank you for putting that little chart together, because that chart has helped me for the past 2 or 3 years in my teachings. After I teach all the bases of philosophy and the introduction of it, I end up with you, Dean. Because as a philosopher yourself, and the indictment that you bring to tear down this structure is just amazing. So thank you, Dean Gocher. I love you, and I love your wife also very dearly. This student goes on and says that the synthesis is the compromise between the antithesis and the synthesis coming together and placing each other to compromise, to come to consensus. The dialectic is the way that forms history and new knowledge, just like Martin Luther King fought against the government and changed the country. The Hegelian dialectic is what's going on there. Martin's thesis against the states coming together to lead his equal rights for the whole country. With thesis in my life, I think that I could easily change my life. You're right, son, you sure can. I will have this subject in my mind for the rest of my life. Now, let me pause right there, because I got to thank God. I got to thank God who gave me breath. Okay, by applying it to my everyday life, it can make me a stronger human as well as more knowledgeable. The final exam will help me in the future, because I think that I will have a challenge in my life that questions me and my thesis. And if my thesis is strong enough, I will be able to overcome any argument or dialectic. Sooner or later, I will have to make a decision to make up my own thesis that will guide me towards the right path, no matter what the situation. The final exam, of course, what I gave him, is preparing me for the decision now, so I will not be like those other people who would do the wrong thing because they have no thesis. Living with a point in my life will cause me to move in the right direction. In my society, in my neighborhood, the only thing that matters to us teens is music, sex, and drugs. See, he just puts that right on the line. He says, the only thing that matters to us teens is music, sex, and drugs. All you see in the media is people taking, is people talking about one of those three things, and it attracts all the ignorant humans to them. That's what it does. Here's a young man, 19, 20 years old, and it attracts the ignorant ones. By using the media, ignorant people are pretty much attracted to the hole and are trapped in there. And me being just another teenager trapped in it would just make me a victim like the rest. But philosophy one has helped me to realize that I can escape and there is a way for me out. I didn't want to be another African American who lives just thinking of money and materialistic things. Now let me tell you people something, right? Because I don't pastor the church anymore, right? I don't do that no more, right? I remember some people in the church said, "You can't quit us." I said, "I got to quit you because you ain't doing a damn thing." Excuse me for using that language, but I'm just telling you. I said, "I got to quit this organization because all you people do is meet every week and you ain't doing nothing." "Well, what are you doing? What are you doing?" Hey, you don't need to get up there and be reading no Bible in nobody's face and do that. What you do is you teach them that the creator of the universe has formed a simple suggestion for you to do. To thine own self be true. The philosophers have been trying to find that out for years. This student goes on and says, alienation plays a huge role in our society today. Listen to this. This young man, I remember him sitting in the back of the class with his little curly hair. I think he's Somalian and white, I think. But he sat in the back of the class. I asked him, I said, "Why didn't you ever talk? Why didn't you ever say anything?" And he said, "Oh, Mr. Coleman, I don't do that. I rarely ever talk." See, he didn't have thesis. He didn't have thesis. Once you have thesis, you come out of that box. Somebody was telling me the other day, said, "Well, you ought to do this, you ought to do that." I said, "You don't come in my house and tell me nothing. Fool." Hey, alienation plays a huge role in society today. By just dressing or looking different, a person could be alienated in their own neighborhood. According to Hegel and Marx, alienation is the separation of things that naturally belong together, or put antagonism between things that are properly in harmony. Now, for you philosophy professors listening to me, do you think I'm teaching the subject matter or not? Oh, I'm teaching it. I just don't teach it the way y'all teach it. Because see, the way y'all teach it, the student stays asleep. And let me tell you something. In this class, I have over 40 students left at the end of the semester. Oh, yeah. They don't drop out of my class like they do the other professors. And I'm just an adjunct. Now, wait a minute. This student says, in our society today, if someone dresses different and listens to different music, they are alienated, separated from the whole. For a philosophical mind, that would be a good thing. We are escaping the hole without fighting your way out. But in this case, the victim tries harder to fit back into the hole, and so they go deeper by changing the way they dress, changing the way they act to fit in. That's why the boys kind of like put their pants on a little bit more. They want to show them, "Hey man, you know, I'm walking on the crest line of success too. I don't care how they wear the clothes. I like some of the young styles. I wear them myself. I got them on now. Some of these little sweat pants, man, that's nice. Should have had this when I was a kid growing up." But he says alienation, in a way, is reverse psychology used on ignorant people to go deeper into the whole of society. You're right about that. His last paragraph, he says, When I was younger, I did not want to be different. I tried my hardest to fit in. I listened to the music I did not like or even understand, but I did it because everybody else did it. I did stuff all the time that I did not want to do, but did so. I didn't look like, I did it so that I wouldn't look like an outcast. I tried to stay deep in the hole W-H-O-L-E, all right? Because that's what Hegel teaches. He wants to keep you in that thing wrapped up. See, I did not even know it. But now I will live up to my thesis and do what I want to do with my life. I do not have to do anything for anyone that I don't want to do. That's right, that's right. I will always fight my thesis to the death, no matter what. Good for you, boy. Philosophy has taught me that. Freedom until the day I die. Hi. You know what? The boy made a B on his own. I could have given him an A. Oh, listen to me. I could have, see, you know what station I'm listening to now, don't you? You see, I could have given him an A, but I wanted him to make the grade on his own. He's a good student, and he made it on his own. Good paper. I like this paper. Ah. Now, here's one. Extra credit, and this was a student that was one of those special students that had advanced studies. Throughout the semester of Philosophy 1, I was educated on many different ideas that would definitely help me on with formulating my life. Throughout the class, we addressed the problems of knowledge, metaphysics, science, and religion. Our examination of God and His existence, as well as the problems of evil, as well as the nature of the human soul, which caused the study to be introduced to me, and I was able to engage myself as we heartily studied the material set before us. One aspect of philosophy that will help me in formulating my life is the blending of Karl Marx and Hegel's thoughts. Hegel would say that reality is not fixed but static and changing and dynamic. Life is constantly passing from one stage to another, which is a very important idea. This idea makes me think about life and how precious it really is. Marx and Hegel's works was drawn into Hegel's complete words. An important idea of Hegel was that history moves through the dialectic process of development. When Marx began believing this, he had discovered the scientific method for studying the history of human societies. He eventually distinguished that there would be a single science that combined the science of mankind with natural science, and he held that there were universal laws behind historical change. You see, this student picked up the idea of what's going on in her world today. And that's why when I teach philosophy, I bring it current. I say, let's look at our government. Look who's running for president. Let's see. Let's follow this. This was just an excellent paper because this student just took right out of my notes and quoted everything. And of course, they ended up with an A in the class. I love the work that these babies put in. The students that I had in Philosophy 33, World Religion, Philosophy 20, Ethics, and Philosophy 1, Intro to Philosophy. I'm telling you, this last semester has been the greatest of all the semesters that I've taught at Harvard College. So when I look at my computer and see the road rage and the foolishness and the ignorance that people fall into without God, I do my part to try to add a little bit about God in there. And when I get these papers back from my students that tell me what they learned, my goodness, thank you for coming to my website today. And thank you, those of you that are still supporting me. even with your prayers. I know I don't sound like the conventional pastor. Remember, we've lived through this Christian era. Now let's live for God in our lives through making sure that our thesis agrees with God. Okay, Andreas, how you doing? You doing all right, little buddy? Good for you. Hey, listen, for the rest of you out there, you know the drill. Stay in the Word. I'll see you next time.